It's easy to lose heart. The world and our experience of living within it gives us all sorts of causes and reasons for discouragement. We experience it in our lives, in our communities, large and small, and in our congregations, this temptation to lose heart. And it is a temptation from the devil. One of the major reasons for losing heart is feeling insecure about the future. In our first reading from 1 Samuel chapter 8, we see the people of Israel losing heart. Despair. The nation of Israel was not happy with their situation. So the elders paid a visit to Samuel. Samuel is their priest, prophet, and judge. They confronted him about his age, that he is old, and his son's behaviors. And then they made their request, appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. Sometimes when my daughter comes home from school, she always demands something. And when I ask her, did your teacher ask for this? No, because my friend has it. The peer pressure. It is not entirely clear why the ancient Israelite transitioned from a tribal society into a monarchy in the early Iron Age, sometime in the late 11th or early 10th century BC. But monarchy was certainly not a new institution in the Near East, in the ancient Near East, modern Middle East. Having deep roots in Mesopotamia and Egypt, as well as the nations surrounding Israel, Israel was perhaps unusual in not having instituted a monarchy. But now they did not want to be different from others. The Israelites wanted a king for three main reasons. First, all of the surrounding nations had kings. So the people of Israel wanted a king too. They were influenced by the world and were no longer listening to Samuel. Second, the Israelites were concerned about who would lead them in the future. They were insecure about the future after Samuel died. You see, Samuel's sons were leaders in other parts of the country, Joel and Abijah, but they were corrupt. They weren't very good leaders. Third, the Israelites wanted a king who would represent power and security and lead them into battle. They forgot that Yahweh was fighting their battles. Now, there wasn't anything necessarily wrong with asking for a king, because in Deuteronomy, in the Torah, God gave the Israelites the right to have a king as long as they chose a king from among themselves and not a foreigner. God had told Israel that one day he would give them a king. What was wrong here was the reason Israel wanted a king. They wanted to be like all the other nations. God had chosen Israel out of all the nations to be his own treasured possession. God said to Israel in Leviticus chapter 20, "You are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own." This was a great privilege that no other nation enjoyed. God had called Israel to be his very own. They were meant to be different. But now they just wanted to be the same. Just as Israel was called to be different from the nations, so we as Christians are called to be different from the rest of the world. The word different means not the same, out of the ordinary, unusual, something unique. St. John says in his first letter, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." And in the 12th chapter of Romans, St. Paul warns his readers concerning the danger of being swallowed up by this around in culture. The New Living Translation says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think." As followers of Christ, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. But many times we don't want to stand out. You may prefer to blend in. And there are plenty of pressures to conform in our family, at our workplace. But as Christians, as part of God's people, you are called to be different from the world around you. We tend to lose heart when we are under pressure and things don't go the way we want. But when that which we see, that which we have come to rely on, yes, that which the world says matters most, begins to erode, it's very easy to despair. Yes, it is so that Paul uses the analogy of the human body in our epistle reading this morning. And it is also so that perhaps we experience this eroding most intimately when this reality comes home to us in this way. When you are getting old, you want to blend in with the norms of this world. So even so, whenever and whatever there is a decay, corruption, or a general wasting away of ourselves, it is easy to lose heart. The limitations of our humanity, which are ever increasing with the onset of age, and the constant decline of our strength through suffering, there can be obvious reasons to lose heart. But the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when you are in Christ, you are a new creation. When we are in Christ, although our body wastes away, we are inwardly renewed day by day. The Holy Spirit, a deposit given by God, is daily renewing our being. So, although we only see the wasting away, within our being, there is an unseen, life-giving renewal progressing day by day. We grow in the Spirit. We are being shaped into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And therefore, we have been called by God to do good works. We have to be on guard against anything that would hinder that work. One enemy of good works is losing heart and doing what seems right only to us. Our gospel for today touches on a darker kind of eternity, the eternal sin that is against the Holy Spirit. Let me read Jesus' own words regarding eternal sin. "Truly I tell you, People will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they have uttered. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. The unforgivable sin has been variously identified as presumption, impatience, envy, and most often, despair, losing heart. Jesus' comment in today's gospel is triggered by people saying that he had an unclean spirit, presumption, or envy. His reaction suggests that he was aware that they knew he was in his right mind, but that they were unwilling to accept the truth. So they took refuge in lies. We human beings have this terrifying freedom even to reject our Maker, reject our Creator, and refuse to hear His voice. The story which has been read to us from 1 Samuel chapter 8 is also about the doctrine of free will. They were free to choose. God gave us the ability to choose between right and wrong, and then face the consequences. We must remember Samuel's words in this passage. God has called us to specific situations and not anyone else. When we live in the world, we are influenced by the political and cultural environment more than we realize. Consequently, we often lose our ability to distinguish between what comes out of our environment and what comes out of our relationship with God. And let me ask you a question. Are you feeling discouraged or uncertain about the challenges you are facing in life and losing heart? If so, you are not alone. Many of us go through seasons of doubt and struggle, questioning whether we will ever be able to overcome the bad times. But all we need to do is set our focus on the author and perfecter for faith, Jesus Christ our Lord. Our desire to imitate the world may seem easy and right at first, but it will result in destruction. Jesus says in his most famous sermon on the Mount, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy and that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." We need to ask God to give us the courage and conviction we need to stand apart from the sin-filled world. In the hearts of many of us, there may be a longing to be normal, to fit into the crowd, to go along in order to get along. Yet, if we listen to the voice of God, which is always tiny, we may hear a different message. In today's gospel, Jesus is tearing things up. He draws large crowds of people. His family thinks he has lost his mind. He is denounced by the religious authorities for having ties to the devil. In the midst of this commotion, Jesus tells a short parable. "But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered." Very simple parable. maybe in our day and age, the strong man that Jesus ties up is our desire. It's our strong will, our obsessive focus on others, our inner need to fit in, and the fact that today's culture demands us to blend in with its ways. Jesus frees us from that because he purchased us by his blood. You now have a new master whose name is Jesus, and you are called to be different. We need to pour out our souls to God in honest prayer, seeking his heart, his plan, and his will. When we do, the Holy Spirit will give us the tools we need to trust that wherever he leads and what he allows is what is best for us. Let us close our eyes and bend and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we thank you for your calling. And you call your sheep by name. Lord, we are the sheep of your pasture. We are the people of your flock. We ask your grace, your mercy in our lives, to hear your voice and not to blend in and not to give in, but to always stand apart for your glory. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.